about the score right there. That is Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma, the first Chinese patriarch. He came to China. We don't know exactly when, but 500. He came to China. He was a prince of some country near India, Koshi-koku in Japanese. And he was one of the many teachers who practiced Zazen in India, and he came to China. And there's a famous story about him. But before I talk about him, I want you to explain something about those scores. This is a score Here it says for master. This is Chinese transliteration of his name. Painting. And form is low voice, low voice pearl. Low voice pearl. Pearl is, pearl is low. Picture with voice is false. So, low voice form is not so good. So, they put, picture with voice, which is poor. So we need to put together the score of Descartes and Descartes' perfect. Poem is one part, picture only poem. And picture has poem which has no voice. Even the body that he cannot say. So, we put poem on picture. Anyway, it is quite almost all the Chinese pictures as poem on it, especially manga. Zen pictures, almost all the time, poem on it. And those scores are very useful. Times or when you hang you should roll as much as you can before you take up and we use some something like this, because this is not sometimes by mistake, you will drop it. If you drop it, you even though you don't break it, it will be like this. It will be, what do you call it? Break. So, it will be broken. So, as much as you can, you roll it first and take off. And when you hang it, you should not hang like this. Made in Hong Kong.
Very
good.
I thought this is not so great. This is still thick. So it comes back like this. When you have it, without opening it, you see the anguish and then this is how it is hung it. And then you take off, you draw it first, and this is something which you should know if you have scrolls. During that prayer, or else you will have many wrinkles. And if there are many wrinkles, it is not so valuable anymore. It should be perfectly smooth. Whether the scroll is good or bad, we can tell. But when you take hold of the feeling of the scroll, when you take hold of scroll like this, if it is good one, it's a very soft feeling and very carefully treated because it is variable. So, and some scroll which is treated badly, even if it is good, we don't pay so much money. If it is good, when you look at it, before you open it, you can tell how valuable it is. So how you treat it is very important. First, by look at it. And second, you take it and do like this. This is good. You may feel it. Mm-hmm. And open it little by little. Very good. And if it is good, we roll it again and hang it. So that is how we appreciate. That is how we appreciate scrolls. And we should not hang same scroll all the time. If you do so, the color will fade. It will become dusty. So we have to change once in a while and change for something else. And we should always, once in a while, we should hang it. If you don't, skull will become moldy. So it is pretty difficult to treat it. That is why all the scrolls, even the old one, looks like quite new, if it is good one and well treated one. Now, Bodhidharma, when he came to China, he visited Emperor Wu or Bute, and there were famous questions and answers. But he asked him, and this is the first subject of Brooklyn's record. Attention, the Emperor Wu of Liang asked the great teacher Bodhidharma what is the first meaning of holy reality, what is the first principle. Bodhidharma said emptiness. No sacredness, no holiness. The emperor said, confronting me, who is it? Who is here? Aren't you a teacher or a holy person? He said. Bodhidharma said, I don't know. The emperor did not accord. Thereupon, Bodhidharma crossed the river and reached the land of waves, Gi in Japanese. And there were more questions and answers. Bodhidharma asked him, I helped building temples and supported many patronized many teachers. What is the virtue of my deed? Bodhidharma said, no merit. That was his answer. So, the emperor couldn't understand what does he mean by no virtue. In this way, Bodhidharma started his question and answer in China. First part of the 6th century. The Buddhism was introduced into China. The first part of first century. And many scriptures were translated into Chinese. And by the time Bodhidharma went to China, there were many schools of Buddhism. Do you know Puran school? Puran school was there already, and Tendai school, and Sanlong, Hosso. There were many schools established already. So Bodhidharma did not introduce any scriptures, but he said to have brought Rangkapatara Sutta. But he did not bring any scriptures, or there was no need to introduce any more scriptures. And he came to China just to practice Zazen, or to bring the teaching into practice. He came to China. That is why he came to China. And what we should remember is there were many Indian Zen teachers at that time, and he was one of them. Recently, priest put emphasis on Bodhidharma's Zen, or Sixth Patriarch's Zen, or Zen in early Tang Dynasty. So, some people, say Bodhidharma, we don't know when he came. Maybe he is some legendary, or what is told about him is almost is not historical. There's no historical evidence, and he may be some legendary person. But even though we don't know exactly when he came and when he died, but there were actually many teachings which was left by him. And those teachings described in various books is not safe. That is why, there are some doubt whether he is a historical person or not. Thank you.
But many scriptures, in many scriptures, there were various records about the second Patriarch and the third Patriarch. Second and, yeah, we have second. But third Patriarch, we have not much record. And fourth, fifth we have. And that he is called the sixth Patriarch. Means there was the first Patriarch. And first Patriarch was Bodhidharma. Whatever the person he may be, if he is one of the many teachers who were in India and practicing that is enough. And moreover, there are many teachings which was left by him. And this, you know, I don't know who are you in front of me, you know. What is the first principle? The emperor asked. I don't know, he said. I don't know, there is no holy person, or no sacred teaching. That was his answer. Then, until the teacher from Japan, from India, the emperor asked, Bodhidharma said, I don't know. This I don't know is not usual, I don't know. Last night I talked about, can you hear me? Talked about rhinoceros fun. If you, if you bring it to him, it is too late, as the scripture said. If the rhinoceros fun is the first principle, whatever you say, that is not right. Or it is too late. Before you say something, it is right. If you say something about it, you already put limitation to it. So it is not right. So Bodhidharma, you know, if the emperor thinks he is the holy one, that is not true. When, especially when the emperor asked him what is the first principle. First principle is not something holy or not holy. Whatever you say about it, it is not right. So he said, I don't know. not matter of holy or not holy. And who are you? He said, if I am Bodhidharma, that is not perfect. So he said, I don't know. So, since then, and the sixth Patriarch, when Nangak called him for the first time, where are you from? He said, That's it already. question. About the first principle. Where are you? Who are you? I don't know his right. He may have some name, but that is just name, and not his himself. This kind of question and answer started from Bodhidharma. And intellectually, this point was discussed by many teachers, even before Bodhidharma came to China. According to the Sandong school, they understand or they classify our teaching into the first principle and the second principle. The second principle is the principle which we can study and talk about intellectually. And the first one, something which we cannot talk about. If we talk about it, it is already the second principle. So we classify our teaching into it. And all the teaching which is written on the paper is a second principle. The first principle is, you know, the principle which you cannot talk about. And which we transmit to Master, from Master to Master, from Patriarch to Patriarch. But the teaching which we transmit has is not written. No. So how we translate it? One. That is the point we should study. and according to Tendai school, there are, you know, aspects of being and non-being. And the third aspect includes being, aspects of viewpoint, being and non-being, and it is something beyond being and non-being. That is the third aspect. So, and according to Tendai school, even though you, according to the third aspect, you cannot arrange our teaching this way or this way. To arrange teaching this way or this way, a time span or a space span, either teaching which is in the third dimension. But the teaching, the absolute teaching, which we transmit one master to the other, not this kind of teaching. According to Tendai school, it is so. So whatever, and according to Shingon school, the something which is taught by Buddha is not, we cannot authorize anyone or any teaching by what was taught, teaching, what is taught by, what was taught by Buddha. How we authorize our teaching, it's according to Shingon school. Dainitsutta, which is the supreme teaching, which was taught by Buddha, and which was taught by Buddha to, without any audience. You know, if some, this is very funny, but if the teaching, the teaching which was taught by some special person according to his character or to his ability, no, is not absolute teaching because it was taught by him, like a medicine to the patient. If patient changes, you know, teaching will change, so it is not absolute teaching. But Dainichi Sutra, which was taught by Buddha to himself, is the only teaching which we can depend on. But this is not in a complete understanding. That is why Zen puts emphasis on our practice. Whatever the teaching is, which was taught by someone who is not absolute teaching. This is traditional understanding of our teaching, not only then, but also for every school of Zen Buddhism. Even according to the Shin school, for believing Amida Buddha as a saver of sentient beings, this is also true. So Amida Buddha, when we say Amida Buddha, Amida Buddha includes everyone of us. The mouth we repeat Amida Buddha's name is also Amida Buddha's mouth, not our mouth. When we believe in
when we practice, when we repeat His name with this idea, then that is to believe in Amida Buddha. It is not because we repeat His name that we that Amida Buddha save us, but because all of us originally Amida Buddha, a part of Amida Buddha. So the only thing is we should do is to believe in Him. That is our idea, understanding of or how we believe in Amida Buddha. Even though for people, we describe Amida Buddha's world in mystic way, in beautiful way, fantastic way. It is just, you know, good devices of Buddha. In this way, before Bodhidharma comes to China, people were already prepared for accepting Zen Buddhism. And after 500 years since Buddhism came to China, Buddhism became more and more stronger and stronger, and at last, Zen Buddhism almost covered whole China from the end of Tang Dynasty. But it took pretty long time, maybe 700-800. Yes, of that. As I was asked about that score, I explained more about the Bodhidharma and the situation. In what situation Bodhidharma started its teaching? Will you, if you have questions, and if you, if it is too hot for you, you can pray.
which is called Atman or big self, changing to small self. Especially teacher self. And big self changing to small self, and there were many various religions, independent religions. Religions for sake of religion, not for sake of people. So Buddha started. Buddha, at first, he wanted to be, to stay, to protect his people as a priest. But he found out it was not possible. So he tried to protect his people in his true way. And he started to study various religions, and he found that all the religion at that time was not so good. And he started his own religion for people, to help people. That is, I think, Buddhism. So many teachers, even many teachers at that time, converted to Buddhism. So maybe he put an end to all religions. But we have said Buddha gave us poison. Buddha started some poisonous religion again. But that is not his fault. His followers' fault. And it is, all the religion is good if we study it with sincerity for the people, and through, it is good. And we need various religions, because there are many different types of people. So each one of us needs his own religion. So strictly speaking, religion is should be his own. When we have our own teaching, mysteriously enough, it becomes a true teaching, and we can communicate with each other. This is also true. Some other question.
The other night we compared practice to an unbroken than the pure white silk, searching for 10,000 miles. And I don't understand if that's something which we attain as our practice becomes pure and stronger, so that we can say, as our practice was beginning, it was not like that, but as it became, a better practice, then we experience our practice in that way. Or rather, that once we understood pure practice, we would see that all of our practice had been of that type. Do you understand my question?
Yeah. It is both, you know. Before you realize our religion or practice through and through, there were religions, you know. But after you understood religion, there is no religion, because we are always with people, and we are struggling with the same problem. What we are doing is not different from everyone is doing. We find out this truth after, you know, going through various understanding and attainment. We come to the starting point again, and on we follow this way with this. So that is, you know, the point after you went through religious experience. And at the same time, it is starting point of religion. So both. It doesn't make much sense, maybe. It looks like someone's magnet. Very baby. Do you have time?
I can't choose between them now.
You can't choose. Freedom, no?
Would you explain to us again what you mean by the beginner's mind?
Beginner's mind?
Yeah.
Beginner's mind is, you know, when you start, just start here. You have no preconceived like this. You don't know anything about this. And you open your whole mind to the Buddhist. That is beginner's mind. After you went through, but if you study our way, you feel as if you, you know, understood Buddhism, and as if you attained something special. That is quite easy. But at that time, you just lose your beginner's mind.
So if you feel, you know, even though you study, what do you think? You really, you should like to study more. And your study is not good enough. Then, what you study is Buddhism. Do you understand? That is Buddhist mind. And that beginner's mind is also weak mind. Alright? Is my answer is acceptable?
Many times I think the beginners, they know more than when after study. They don't know anything. When you first come, you think you know a lot.
Yeah. But what we are studying, you know, like this in our lecture is, you know, to have some outline of, you know, Buddhism. Intellectual. Yeah. Without some outline of teaching or suggestion, you cannot practice, you know. You cannot study. That is why we give you some advice or framework of Buddhism. And to point out some important point in your practice.
The first principle and the second principle.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference?
The first principle. Second principle is, you know, ordinary common sense. You know, the teaching which is for patience is the second principle. But people know this is just for some particular patient. So there must be, you know, some absolute teaching which is for everyone. People, you know, are Buddhist, seek for some teaching which is permanent. And what is that permanent teaching? That was a problem for them. And we reach the conclusion that whatever it is, what is told by someone is not the first principle. Then what is the first principle? The first principle is something which you cannot understand, which to which there is no approach. That is the first phrase.
But doesn't the second principle depend on first principle?
Depend on, but the way it depends on is So even though you extend the second principle, you cannot reach the first principle. If you add one, how many ones you add, it will not add the infinity. So, the infinity, or the first principle, is something beyond. The second principle. Well, you may say the viewpoint is quite completely different.